been the starting center tonight. Simmons picking cherries, and oh, and he's fouled on the play by Westbrook. Simmons, they're urging him to take his Smith, and he does so, and has his way.
Yeah, NBA Strayer, how are you going?
Hang on.
That's right, it's NBA Australia. It's Thursday, June 3, all day. And I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer sometimes, Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, whoever else wants to cross these greasy palms with some of that booze money. Here in lockdown, Larry Armour Studios, lockdown again. Can you believe it? Keeping you completely up to date and giving you the lowdown, all the ins and outs of the NBA playoffs while repping Australia a bit. That's what we do here, and we don't take things too seriously. You may have already gathered that, because we leave all the serious stuff for the nerds.
Well, they love serious things, don't they?
Right, day 12 of the NBA playoffs. The last four big game fives to talk about. We had three closeout games. The Sixers close out the Wiz, the Hawks shush the Knicks, and the Jazz boot down the Grizzlies. Roar. While the Mavs kept up the insanity of their series by logging the fifth straight road win. What a world. We've got all that covered in the NBA Australia game wraps, along with That's Not a Knife, Oh Mate, No Mate, Spud of the Night, Better Than Lonzo Ball, and of course we've got Yeah Nas, the unpopular opinion of the day, and Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up a flame grilled take. There's Australian Player Watch, plenty to talk about today. Box Hill Betty responded very, very well today. Enjoyed that. And it's Thursday, so we don't have a Kiwi Corner. We'll have an Andrew Gaze Great Mamba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence and a preview for the first two playoff game sixes tomorrow, which will be very, very fun. Pick and preview for each of those. And we'll close out the brand new diary of Stephen Adams. Oh, the big Kiwi's back! Talking about what he and his best friend Zion have been up to in New Orleans. Right, let's get to it. NBA Australia 625. Let's go.
This is Matthew Dellavedova, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
You better. Well, you better watch out for the attack of the button. If you're Charles Barkley, you do not eat enough donuts to activate this button. Enjoying Draymond on Inside the NBA. Pretty funny. And Chuck is copping it from all angles. It's pretty fun.
It's pretty good.
Also, you better watch out for the Luka attack if you're the Clippers. But also, really, we should all watch out for the Brad Stevens attack. What is going on there? Let's get right into it. Let's start the day the way we start every show here at NBA Australia. With the daily whip around. Oh, get it. It's a whip crack. It's a whip around. First off the bat here, Joel Embiid. Didn't play in today's Sixers game. He's out with what is appearing to be a slight meniscus tear. So it's a meniscus tear. And his right knee. Oh, but it's only slight, man. Okay, cool. He's going to manage this with physical therapy and a treatment program. No shit. But obviously that means no surgery. So the big thing about this is pain management and swelling. Absolutely fascinated to see what happens here. I guess the big problem for the Sixers is that the Knickerbockers did not force a game six. So Philly will have to turn around a little bit quicker than they would have had Atlanta and Knicks gone a little bit longer. But oh well, there you go. And obviously the big news today, the Celtics upheaval. That's right. I've given him shit for the last 2.5 years. Old almost trader Danny. Danny Ainge stepping down as El Presidente of basketball operations there in Boston. And coach Brad Stevens taking his spot. What? How is this? Absolutely wild news to wake up to here in Australia today. You've just got the absolute, I don't know how you go about your basketball, you know, news and keeping up to date, but I have a shit ton of notifications. Boom! My phone is all lit up. It's Woj, it's Shams, it's Mark Stein. It's all going on. Danny Ainge stepping down as Celtics president of basketball ops. He's been there since 2003, 2004. Obviously, ran the Celtics, 18 years? Won one title back in 08. Pulled a couple of big trades out of his bum. I reckon four big trades. 374 almost amazing trades as well, probably. Six Eastern Conference Finals appearances, two finals. Fleeced the team that then just beat him in the first round. I don't think I beat that home enough, like the other day, right? About Brooklyn being gutted by the Celtics, then turning around and beating the piss out of the Celtics in the first round of the 2021 NBA playoffs. Me sitting there in Brooklyn in 2016, I, for the life of me, would not have ever thought in any way, shape, or form that in 5 years' time, Brooklyn would be beating the shit out of the Boston Celtics in the first round of the playoffs. I wouldn't have ever expected the Nets to be in the playoffs, but here we are. Brad Stevens, very clearly done, sick of coaching at the moment, moves into the role of president of basketball ops. And look, this is a bit weird, right? So the Danny Ainge news had sort of been floating around a little bit where he's like, look, I might pack it in. They've got a pretty stable front office there in Boston. They've been there for ages. They have the same, two coaches over the last, 16 years between Doc Rivers and then into Brad Stevens. Danny Ainge has been there, obviously, almost 18 years. And Brad just goes, I'm sick of coaching. This is a bit fucked. I got a young family. I was in the bubble. Turn around straight away into this year. It's a bunch of bullshit. Fuck that. I'm going to go run the Celtics. I don't know how that's going to help your family life there, Brad. Especially doing a job that you've never done before. But more power to him because he gets to set the hours, I guess, a little bit, doesn't he? But this is crazy. So now the Celtics are without a coach. Their longtime manager, GM, president of basketball ops, the architect behind everything has stepped away. No one knows where Danny Ainge is going to go. He might retire. Might go run Portland. Might go run Utah. Who knows what's going to happen? But Brad Stevens going, all right, fuck it. I'm out. Was probably the most shocking aspect of this, right? Like the Danny Ainge news, we're kind of like, yeah, can see that coming. The Brad Stevens part. He's been coaching there 7 years, which again, feels like it's completely fucking flown by. You know, the boy wonder comes in, coaches like a team that suddenly is actually a little bit better than everyone expected. They keep, cruising along. They've got all these Brooklyn picks and never make a finals. But anyway, here we go. He quits coaching the Celtics to go run the Celtics after signing a huge extension last year and obviously turning down the Indiana University coaching gig, the 7 years, $70 million that was half reported floating out there. Good on him, I guess. Do what's best for you, Brad. And it's one of those moments where it does feel like, yeah, this Celtics team had pretty much clearly tuned him out. Whether that was Marcus Smart just going, I'm fucking sick of this bloke. Guys, let's just not listen to him. Their offense this year stunk. Even when Brown was healthy, there were some flashes of like some good stuff. But for the most part, this entire year and probably the last couple of years have left anyone watching the Celtics with regularity just like a little bit wanting, right? So for all the he's the best coach in the NBA talk, it was always a bit on the fucking nose. And now we get to see who's going to replace him. Sam Cassell? What do you reckon? A coach is already out there coaching right now? I don't know. It's weird. Not going to get Doc back? Ty Lue's locked in? He might be out in the first round. Who knows what's going to happen there? Quinn Snyder, Mike Malone, they're sort of locked into pretty successful franchises. Pop is pretty ensconced in San Antonio. It's a bit weird. Who knows what's going to happen? But anyway, all right. So we'll talk about this, no doubt, obviously, continuing on as news breaks about it and what's going to happen in the future for the Celtics. But it's going to be fascinating to see Brad Stevens transition from coach to GM, president of basketball ops, and who he trades, who he values, what he values, and all that sort of stuff. Because, A, if he trades Marcus Smart within the first 5 minutes of taking over, you know that there's the problem right there. And B, like, he's never done the job before. I get that he's a pretty cool, calm, and collected character. But at the same time, are you going to be out there finagling with the likes of Sam Presti? The likes of, I don't know, Neil Olshay? It's a bit weird, right? Sean Marks is just going to be like running rings around God. Oh my God, the karma would be amazing if Sean Marks somehow swings a trade in a couple of years with Brad Stevens that absolutely swindles Brad Stevens and like gives him an old broken down KD or something. Anyway, fascinating, fascinating. All you need to know is that my Celtics fans are mates are all in fucking a panic. But also half of them are like, yeah, almost traded Danny. I think it's run its course, but the Brad Stevens thing is pretty much a shot across the bow and they don't know what's going on. So no one does. That's why it was such a surprise. Right, the NBA fans! That's right, fan craziness has been going on. We got a day without any insane fan shit today, which is nice. The NBA has informed its teams today, apparently, of new measures about fan misconduct. So on top of bans, teams in the arenas are encouraged to develop processes for pursuing law violations. No shit. Code of conduct announcements are to be made 3 times during games. Oh, how can we do the least amount we possibly can? I don't know if you've ever been in an NBA game, but those code of conduct announcements just fucking suck. It's like, if you're wanting to run on... Look, I know if you've ever been to an AFL or an NRL game, an NBL game, etc. Look, when they do those announcements, all you need to know is how much the fine's going to be, right? If you do any dumb shit, we're going to fine you $25,000. You're like, oh, well, I'm not going to run on the ground now. That's $25,000. You know, just keep it simple. And they're going to apparently have enhanced arena security deployment. So have the security guards looking at the crowd. Good job. And obviously the other big news, aside from Danny Ainge and the Brad Stevens stuff, was Coach K. That's right, Duke coach Mike Krzyzewski planning on retiring after this season. The 2021-2022 college basketball season. He gets his retirement tour. You love to see that. And apparently Duke have talked to our outside candidates about replacing Krzyzewski, including Tommy Amaker there from Harvard. But... John Shire is basically their dude for Duke. He's, you know, former Dukey, current assistant coach. He was a lead recruiter for Tatum and William Zion, etc. So seems like a good, you know, in-place candidate right there. But that's pretty crazy, right? Like, Coach K has been there 42 years, which is absolutely bonkers to think about. And he's an absolute titan of college basketball. NCAA Australia! There you go. It leaves like a weird sort of power vacuum. And like, you don't want to be the guy following the legend, right? Like, it never works out. But best of luck to him. The last bit of news, COVID. Zero NBA players apparently tested zero. Zero tested positive. So out of the 278 tested since May 26, we've got back-to-back weeks of zero positive results. So that's good. That's very good. Let's get a couple of those in Victoria and we're fucking laughing. God damn lockdown. Right, let's do some game wraps.
Game wraps, 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 game wraps,
game wraps. Let's do the game wraps. They're brought to you by DraftKings Australia. Mate, the playoffs are here. The boys from Down Under, Big Simo, Jingles, they're out there battling it out for the title. And you can too, for the title being... millions of dollars in prizes. Thanks to our friends at DraftKings Australia, you can get in the action as well. Play some daily fantasy. And if you're new to daily fantasy, no worries. It's super easy. Here's how it works. You click on one of the links on our socials. You go there or you bang in dkng.co/Australia. That's dkng.co/Australia. Go to DraftKings, select a team, play classic, select your lineup, enter your contest, sit back, watch them crush it. I'm loving daily. The fantasy aspect of daily fantasy in the playoffs is the best because you just go from day to day. You're like, yes, this is awesome. You get to prove how smart you are and have a crack at the title. It's pretty great. I'm out there doing it day in, day out. So if you think you've got what it takes to be smarter at basketball than me, Jimmy, then you better get in on the action right now. Test your basketball knowledge. Enter now, dkng.co/Australia, and be a legend. Get around that daily fantasy with DraftKings Australia. Right, 4 games today. The Sixers beat the pants over Washington. Super tight game early. And then the Sixers eked out a lead in the third on the back with some crazy hot shooting from Seth. Not the shit one, Curry. And then in the fourth, they cranked up the D. There's a couple of moments right at the start of the fourth where the Wiz were like, oh, we might have a shot. And Philly just cranked their D up just that little bit more. And Korkmaz finally got a shot or two to go. They got some nice little putbacks. Dwight had a nice little, foul that he drew. And it's like, oh, well, that's basically the game. Just kept him in, you know, head double figures. And they sort of ran away with it from there. Seth Curry hit some more shots and boom. Harris was very, very good. Tobias Harris was a great steadying influence all game. And Philly ran away with this one. Our big second half really did it in. And look, it's kind of be expected. We've talked about this ad nauseum about the Wiz. They just don't quite have the weapons with the injuries they've got, you know, to all their, well, to Bertans, to Denny Avdija, etc. It's going to be rough. So here we are. They, like, Philly basically dropped a pretty brutal 64 points in the second half and limited Washington to 49. So, look, that's how you do it. That's how you win a game. Good closeout game for the Sixers. No Embiid. So it meant a lot more. They went small. They started small, which you love to see. They're out there with Danny Green, Seth Curry, Matty T, Aussie Matty T, Big Simo, and Ben Simmons basically playing point center. It was awesome. Tobias Harris held his own. And they stayed small. They didn't really bother with the Mike Scott stuff. That was really good to see. Dwight Howard only played 16 minutes. They stayed small because no one on the Washington Wizards is really going to punish you. Rolo was all right. Dan Gafford, though, couldn't get going either. And it's the trade-off that you're going to get, right? It's like, oh, our guys are a bit bigger. And then the Sixers are like, all of our dudes are much quicker and way better at defense. So sucked in. That's how they do it. The Wiz, meanwhile, Beal had 32, 7, and 5, but he did shoot 10 of 23. 2 of 7 from downtown. It's one of those classic Beal lines where you're like, 32, 7, and 5, that's really good. He also has 5 turnovers and is a minus 14. Yeah. Rusty goes 7 of 20 for his 24 points, 8 rebounds, 10 assists, 4 turnovers. Look, it's not a bad game, but he needed like the explosive 44-point triple-double from him to really get them over the line. Wasn't there today. Rui Hachimura was awesome yet again. He is a gun. I love him. He played 43 minutes today. He had 21 points, 6 rebounds, shot 8 of 13 from the floor. The big problem for Rui is his threes weren't dropping. He went 1 of 3 from downtown. And, yeah, they needed a big game from him. They got a pretty good one. Couldn't quite get him over the hump, though. For the rest of them, look, outside of those three, there was very little impact from the rest of the Wiz. Ish Smith had 9 points. Whatever. You know, Rolo had 7 points. He was a minus 9 still. Gil was rubbish, I'll tell you that much. Anyway, but for the Sixers, they basically were led by Tobias. He was awesome. 28, 9, and 6 for him. 3 steals, shot 9 of 17. A great, great showing from Tobias Harris. He was consistent all game, 9 of 17 from the floor, as mentioned. 2 of 5 from downtown. Kept getting to the line, which was super important. Means he's engaged, means he's into the game. He goes 8 of 10 for that line. Crushed it. 19, 10, 11 for Big Simo. Ben Simmons, Box Hill Benny's third ever career playoff triple-double. You love to see that. He played his ass off. Looked great. The defense was sterling. Box Hill Benny crushed it today. 30 points for Seth the Shit One Curry as well. 3 of 6 from downtown. 7 of 7 on the line. 10 of 17 overall. A new career playoff high. He was unreal. 13 for Tyrese Maxey. Ah, I love him. Honorary potential Aussie, Tyrese Maxey. Let's get him. Let's get him. Aussie Matty T, Benny, bring him over. Let's turn him into a citizen. I love it. Dwight Howard had 12 and 8. He was really good. Kirk Maz chucked in 10 points and went 2 of 5 from downtown. Shake Milton was, again, pretty rubbish. He only played 7 minutes, went 0 of 1, and was out there after the game getting up shots because he needed to. George Hill wasn't a, he was a nice, weird sort of little steadying presence. He was a plus 10, played 14 minutes, didn't take a shot. You'd love to see that. 2 rebounds, 2 assists for him, and a steal. Good win for the Sixers. They win the series 4-1. Nailed it. That's what we called it. The you know, start of the playoffs. So you love to see that. Nailing stuff on the head. It's called Win Jimmy Some Money. That's what we like that one for. So there you go. Sixers through to the second round. And that's where they will face the Atlanta Hawks. Because they beat the New York City Knickerbockers of New York City today. 103-89. Look, this was a bit of a depressing game if you're a Knicks fan. Hawks snuck ahead at the end of the second quarter. Got a bit testy at times in that second quarter as well. A bit of a fracas at halftime. As was it Reggie Bullock, Nerlens Noel, taking a bit of umbrage at what some of the Hawks are saying. Solomon Hill's getting right up in Nerlens Noel's face and shit. But then during the third quarter and then into the fourth, look, the Knicks offense just could never find enough. And more problematically, I think their D just couldn't slow down Atlanta at all, right? Like, and this was the same story pretty much every game this series, including the game that the Knicks won. It was also just because the Hawks shooting just fell off a cliff out of nowhere and they went scoreless basically for 9 minutes of game two, where every shot they took rimmed out. It was brutal. But every game, look, their defense was fine, but they, whenever they needed a stop, they could never quite get it. and Trae Young was always there with a bucket, and the Knickerbockers had nobody that could slow him down. And then on the other end of offense, like the Knicks, same thing writ large today. Like when Randall's driving lanes are just gone, his three-point shot wasn't good enough. They could easily just body him up, get him out of his spots, and he couldn't make them pay. And then the problem was the rest of the Knicks couldn't make them pay either. RJ Barrett, look, he's a good young player. You like to see it, but just doesn't quite have that top-flight offensive ability yet. Can't quite get enough separation, and it's a bit tough. So when your best player is being limited to 18 points a game on 29% shooting for a playoff series, yeah, you're going to lose that one in five, aren't you? They shot 37% in this one, 13-30 from downtown, but they had 16 turnovers, never did themselves any favors. Look, MSG was rocking at the start. The Hawks were out there kind of just staying in it. What was it, 21-21 after the first quarter? Eked ahead in that second, really put the pedal to the metal in the third, and sort of just the Knicks just did not have enough in the tank to keep up. D-Rose looked gassed. He shot, I think. Oh, wait for it. Wait. What did he shoot? Jimmy, what did he shoot? Oh, shit. Here we go. Chill. Away. Love it. Ah, oh, I love the 3-11 drop. That's right. D-Rose shot 3 of 11. carrying a few injuries, he reckons. He's like, yeah, I got a little bit banged up in game four. He knocked his knee and he had 6 points, 5 assists. RJ, as mentioned, look, he canned a couple of threes, but not enough. He shot 5 of 14 on his way to 17 points. 2 of 6 from downtown, though. 7 boards, 5 assists. Look, maybe another year. You see a little bit more growth out of RJ. He was really good this year. That was a big step up from his rookie year. So you hope that progression continues apace. And he slots in pretty nicely next to Randall. You know, as an extra ball handler, you do sort of look at this roster and go, just imagine them with an actual really good point guard. It'd be awesome. Randall ends up with 23 points in this one, but shoots 8 of 21.
Kobe!
3 of 9 from downtown. 13 rebounds, 3 assists, and 8 turnovers. Randall, look, they threw everything they had at him, and it worked. Nate McMillan coached his ass off in this series and coached the shit out of Tibbs, and there was nothing else the Knicks could do. But this is the thing. The Knicks are rolling dudes like Reggie Bullock out there. He goes 4 of 8 from 3. He ends up with 12 points. Cool. Alec Burks, he's your gunner off the bench. He has 12 points, 1 of 3 from downtown. Not enough. And your little other rookie, Emmanuel Quickly, IQ, 2 of 6 from the floor, 2 of 2 from 3, has 11 points. But they just don't have the horses. You do wonder, like, Mitch Robinson, if he comes back, the other Mitch Robinson. He and Nerlens Noel were a really good tandem. And with an extra, you know, a little bit of extra size, maybe they can force Clint Capella to work a little bit harder. But he dominated all series, and the Knicks just didn't have enough. The Hawks, they shot only 42% in this one, but that's better than 37, and Trae was awesome. Didn't shoot a great 10 of 28, but he ends up with 36 and 9, is bowing to the New York City crowd. You love to see it. It was awesome. But a 36.9 assist, 4 rebound day. The balls. I love it. I absolutely love it. We talked about the dudes with the biggest balls in the NBA yesterday, Trae Young. He's getting right up there. Bogdan didn't have a great game either. 1 of 7 from 3. Didn't matter. He was a plus 16. Because he does so many other good things on the court when he's out there. 9-7-5-M. DeAndre Hunter was awesome. 15 points. Does a little bit of everything. And he was really, really good in this game. Clint Capella had 14-15-2 blocks. Just crushing it. John Collins at the title. Cocktail at 13-7. Kevin Huerta had 8 points on 8 shots. Sweet Lou, 5 points in 7 minutes. Classic sort of stuff. But they were led by Trae. DeAndre Hunter did some damage when needed. Collins filled in the gaps. Danilo Gallinari did not cover himself in glory. We'll talk about him in a second. Not great, Bob. But Atlanta going to win. They will face the Sixers in the second round of the NBA playoffs. The Hawks. What a world. That's a good firing. Nate McMillan. Unbelievable. What did he go, 27-11 after he takes over? Crazy. Right, the other closeout game. Utah beat the pants off of Memphis. This was over before it started. 126-110. Jazz absolutely smoked them out of the blocks. 47 points in the first quarter, a record for the Jazz in the playoffs. Look, the Grizz fought a little bit back in the second quarter, but then a huge run from Donnie Mitchell. Hits a massive three, talks some shit to Dylan Brooks, and then he hits a buzzer beating off the balance three at the half. That was the game. It was all over. It was all over. Seriously, they had 75 points in the first half, the Jazz. It's a soft J, so it's the Yaz. 75-51 at the half, just unbelievable. He had 26 points in 14 minutes to Donnie Mitchell. He was absolutely remarkable. What a game. Seriously, he's gone out there. He's like, it's a closeout game. We need to get this one right now. Got it in the first half. It completely demoralized the Grizz. They were Dunskies, and there was nothing they could do about it. There was literally nothing they could do. Like, even despite Jingles struggling, Conley leaving with a sore hammy, which he reckons is kind of, it felt a bit sore. He came back, it still felt sore, but so he left. Jordan Clarkson, Niang, Royce, all not shooting great in the first half. They still dropped 75. And then in the third quarter, Royce O'Neal and Jeremy Clarkson got rolling, and that was all she wrote. Got it above 30. Same thing for the fourth quarter. The threes kept dropping. The Grizz could never get him back. Just not enough weapons on this Grizz team right now. They're too young. That's what you get sometimes. Ja Morant was awesome, though. 27 points, 11 assists, goes 5-9 from downtown, 11-22 overall. Dylan Brooks also had 27, and he had a pretty efficient 27. You love to see it. 3-5 from downtown, 9-18 from the floor. Triple J, Jaren Jackson Jr., 15-7 for three blocks. My name is Jonas Valanciunas, 18-6. But this is the thing, four turnovers, and then it's the supporting cast was rubbish for the Grizz. Slow-mo, Kyle Anderson, 1-5, 2 points and zeros the rest of the way. He was a minus 22. Desmond Bane was 2-6. Grayson Allen was in struggle town. He went 1-4, 0-2 from downtown. De'Anthony Melton, 6 points on 2-6 as well. Tyus Jones also 2-6. So literally, wildly inefficient day from the bench, which, look, when they're good, when the Grizz look good, the bench look good because the bench are kicking ass, taking names, dropping bombs, and when it doesn't click, they lose. So there you go. That's what happens. 17 made threes for the Yaz. That's four straight games. Pretty amazing. 30 on 16 shots for Donnie Mitchell. An incredible game. He was absolutely awesome. 5-8 from downtown. 10 assists. He was a plus 30. Got him going early. When he hit that buzzer beater at half, that was literally it. They could have just packed up and closed it then. Rudy Gobert, just stuff like that. Had a really good game as well. 23 points, 15 rebounds, 2 assists, and 3 blocks from the big Frenchman. Bojan Bogdanovic had it cranking early as well. Love a bit of Bojan. 17-8-4 for him. 3-6 from 3. 17 also for Royce O'Neal. 3-7 from downtown. And Jordan Jeremy Clarkson, after a slow start, ends up going 9-20 and 24 points in the end. Jingles, rough as gut shooting night. 0 points, but had 4 rebounds and 4 assists. Jazz win. 4 straight games. Close out the series 4-1. They go on. The one seed, Utah Jazz, into the second round of the NBA playoffs, where they will play the winner of one of the weirdest series you'll ever see. Dallas beat the Clippers in LA 105-100. That's right. Keeping up the streak of the road team winning every game in this series so far. Absolutely bonkers. So the Extreme Zingameel is out there.
Extreme Zingameel.
With his mate Boban. They've gone the Twin Towers, Dallas. That's right. The Mavs move Boban into the starting lineup, I think, for his first career playoff start in place of Maxi Kleber. Hello. And they got off to an absolute fly, did the Dallas Mavs. Luka had 19 points in the first half. The Mavs made 5 threes in all of game 4. Luka made 5 in the first quarter. It was awesome. Anyway, look, there was a bit of argy-bargy. Max Shikley, but hello. Took a bit of exception to Mook Morris. Mook Morris classic, throwing his arm pretty high up in a bit of a box. Said, oh, my arm slipped into your jaw. He's like, yeah, they're shoving him. Kleber got a tech. Morris got a flagrant, though, for the elbow, so you love to see that. Got a bit chippy. But then Kawhi and Paul George got going in that second quarter. The Clips went down from down 10 to up 2 in like a matter of minutes in the second quarter. They had 11 each in the first half. But then the Mavs got just enough at the end of the second quarter to get right back in it and actually get ahead. So they didn't squander the 10-point lead completely. It ends up only being a 2-point lead going into halftime. And they were pretty lucky because the way they had sort of crapped the bed, Willie Cauley-Stein gets a really great alley-oop from Luka. And it came after Maxi basically got them tied back up with a huge three. So a I think the Clips had gone up 3 on a Mook, Mook Morris 3 that he nailed. And you're like, oh shit, here we go. There's 2 minutes left. But some nice defense from the Mavs down the stretch of the second quarter. Maxey hits his 3, and Mook is like, oh, it's my time to shine. Misses one, and they can't get quite anything to go. And there you go. The Mavs are up 2. Lucky. Because they had a massively topsy-turvy third quarter. It was a wild scene. Absolutely wild. So the Mavs got down 6 and then finished the quarter up 14. It's like, what has just happened? It was awesome. They called a timeout with basically like 4 minutes left in the third. And everything changed. Their offense just clicked. Luka went absolutely bananas, was knocking everything in. And away they went. It was really just bizarre. Like, Hardaway hit a 3. Boban was hitting shots. Dorian Finney-Smith hit a 3. Dwight Powell got a couple of shots to go. And you're like, oh, shit, there you go. They end up with a 16-point lead at the start of the fourth. And that's all the way down to 4 points with 4 minutes left. You're like, Dallas have just delivered one of the worst stretches of basketball you'll ever watch. Everything they tried on the offensive end just clanked out. It was a 16-4 run by the Clips. The Mavs stopped going to the hoop. They stopped doing much at all beyond clank wide open threes. And look, I gave Luka a little bit of shit because it's like, well, he's fourth quarter. He didn't really set the world on fire. He goes 1 of 8 in the fourth quarter. But also, he's passing to wide open dudes who are just missing shots. It absolutely sucked. And you're like, you can't do this on the road in a game 5. But what do I say? Here on NBA Australia all the time, the hardest thing to do is come down from a big deficit like 16 and then get either tied or get in front. And the Clippers never could quite do it. They got it all the way down to 1 right at the end, which was crazy in itself because it came after a couple of threes. Look, the way the Mavs saved their bacon, basically, they forced 3 turnovers on 5 Clippers possessions. That saves their bacon. Just, it was huge. As much as the massive Hardaway 3 and then the extreme Zinger Meal dropping a massive bomb.
Extreme Zinger Meal.
To pop them back up 10 with about 2 minutes to go. That completely saves them. But Reggie Jackson comes back down, answers with a 3. Then so does Mook Morris, which is crazy. Kawhi gets an absolutely ridiculous continuation and 1, and it's a 1-point game. The Mavs seemingly have just been playing prevent offense for the entire 2 minutes. But then we go an absolutely crazy, crazy, crazy situation where after a steal and a bad Luka pass, T-Man just goes the entire length of the court and goes up, gets it to Batum. Batum's like weird little layup rolls off the front of the rim. Hardaway the lesser gets the rebound, gets fouled. Kansas 2 free throws. They go back up 3. Kawhi misses a really tough corner 3 with, Finney-Smith all over him. And Josh Richardson, had barely played, got out there, knocks in 2 free throws. Dallas win. You're like, Terrence Mann probably should have given the ball to Paul George or Kawhi. Just saying. Maybe not Nick Batum, the French thief. And boom. Dallas get the win. 105-100. It was crazy. It was a tough day. Like, Kawhi, every time you'd sort of look around, you're like, all right, it's Kawhi time, isn't it? And he just didn't quite have it. He had 20 points on 7 of 19 shooting, 1 of 7 from downtown. He had 5 rebounds, 5 assists, and 5 turnovers. It was a weird, weird Kawhi game. Paul George, 23-10-6. Pretty good game for him. He goes 7 of 14 from the floor. But again, didn't have it going late. And you're like, every time he had the ball, he had a couple of really bad turnovers. We're like, what is Paul George doing? He's dribbling. He'd pick up his dribble. Or he'd sort of try to throw a pass. And you're like, what? Paul, what did he had 4 turnovers in the end. Other than that, he played a pretty good game. Reggie Jackson had 20 points. Ends up with 6 of 12 from 3. Batum had 10 and 8. Mook was pretty bloody good. 4 of 8 from downtown for 16 points. And all the starters combined shoot 14 of 35 from 3. The problem is they got no threes from the bench. Rondo was the only one to shoot threes off the bench. He went 0 of 3, including a horrible air ball. Zoobs had 6 and 11. T-Man had 4 points, 2 missed free throws. It was pretty handy otherwise, but they just got absolutely nothing. I love that you're giving Luke Kennard $62 million to just not play. this point. We're paying this bloke that much money and he's not in our top nine players. Unbelievable. Anyway, the Mavs, they go 14 to 36 from three. That's two less attempts than the Clips. Pretty handy. Luka has 42, 8 rebounds, 14 assists. What a game. We'll talk about him again in a second. Hashtag spoiler alert. 6 to 12 from three. He hit 1-3 after the first quarter, but goddamn, he was good. 4 turnovers. Hardaway the lesser, 20 points, 3 of 10 from downtown, including that big one late where it was just like such a ballsy three. Ah, it was really cool. Zinger, the extreme Zinger meal. He wasn't quite supercharged today.
Supercharged Zinger burger.
But he did hit that three when it really mattered. He gave them so little in that fourth quarter otherwise. We're like, he's getting torched on defense. He's literally like a traffic cone at this point. You're like, Zinger, if you're not going to like... if you're going to turn the ball over, if you're going to bobble balls, if you're going to just not have any confidence whatsoever in what you're doing, what are you doing out there? It was brutal to watch, but then he hits the three and you're like, ah, all is forgiven. Finney Smith played a great game. He went 2 of 9 from the floor. He has 8 points, but he also had 5 steals. He was awesome and really good on Kawhi. A little bit later, Maxi Kleber, 4 points, 3 rebounds. It was pretty handy though. Late 8 and 7 for Dwight Powell. He was a +10. He was really good. Brunson had 2 points. Hit a nice jumper in the fourth quarter. That was what mattered. And Richo has 2 points in his 6 minutes. 2 free throws right at the end. The big key for the Mavs was only 8 turnovers versus 13. The Mavs had 10 steals, and the points off turnovers really, really killed the Clippers. Mavs now lead that series 3-2. Absolute scene. So, just to revisit Washington, Philly, the three big things we had about this was can Rusty and Beal get going against Simo, Matty T, Danny Nod, the Boxer Green. They never really broke up a big one. So, that was a big thing for Washington. Will the Embiid versus Rusty feud continue? It did a little bit, but didn't overshadow anything. And do the Wiz actually sneakily have an okay counter to Embiid and Rolo and Len? Or will Embiid put up 40 and 20s? I feel like Embiid dominated pretty handily when he was asked to. And, went out and they lost a game. So, what are you going to do? Nailed that call, though. Philly in 5. Good job, Philly. And then Atlanta, New York, 3 big things for this. Outside of Julius, can the Knicks score enough to keep up with the Hawks? The answer was no. Will the Knicks D have enough to keep them in this series? No! And do the Hawks lean on Bogdan over Trey to navigate the Knicks? No. Trey was good enough to navigate the Knicks by himself. Grizz, Utah, the three big things for this was, if Donnie's going, is he 80%? Is it going to be enough? Will it matter? And it was above 80%. He kicked ass, so he was fine. Are the Grizz more of a threat than the Warriors? They win one game. They win the first one. It was a great story. But they weren't really in many of the other ones, were they? It was a bit tough. Did they have enough to take down the Jazz? No, they didn't. And there you go. So let's bloody well get to the NBA Australia Approved Performance of the Day. Finally, Jesus, Jimmy.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
What a day for the youngins. Donnie Mitchell drops 30. Absolutely out of nowhere, in no time whatsoever. Absolutely crushes it. God damn, he was good. His first half was one for the absolute ages. It's like one of those ones. It's a closeout game. He comes out and goes, oh, boys, jump on my back. We're going to take this one. Where are we going to put it? Where do you reckon we're going to put it? Oh, I reckon we'll put this one straight to the pool room.
This is going straight to the pool room.
Because he has 30 points in 29 minutes, shoots 11 of 16 from the floor, 5 of 8 from 3. Which is just unreal for Donnie. 10 assists, only 3 turnovers, 6 rebounds and a steal. He ends up with a plus minus of plus 30. Donnie, 30 points in 29 minutes. That's in the pool room, mate. But the best part was joining him in the pool room are two blokes traded for each other. That's right. Trae Young in MSG joins Michael Jordan as the only visiting player with 3 straight 30-point games at MSG in the playoffs. He drops 36 points, 9 assists, and 4 rebounds. Didn't shoot it particularly great, as mentioned, but Jesus. And the dude he was traded for, Luka Doncic, 42, 8, and 14. He was awesome. And I get that he got tired down the stretch. Does the 1 of 8 in the 4th. Doesn't matter. The entire game, he was the reason the Mavs win this. He scored or assisted on 31 of Dallas's 37 field goals. 31 of 37, Luka. That is absolutely insane. He was awesome in the first half. got them going early in the first quarter, and the entire basically saved their bacon at the end of the third quarter as well. The entire Mavs team was shitting the bed in the fourth quarter. He holds them together just. You love to see it. Luka, unbelievable. 42-8-14. Trae Young, 36-9 with 4 rebounds and 2 steals. And Donny Mitchell, 30 points in 29 minutes. They're all going straight to the pool room.
This is going straight to the pool room.
The best part is they're young superstars. Luka, Trae, Donny Mitchell, super young, super awesome, out there crushing it on the biggest stages. This is great. Meanwhile, the likes of Paul George and Kawhi and Julius Randle and Rusty and Beal are just like getting sent packing. And the young dudes kicking some ass and taking names. You love to see it. Ja Morant was really good too. So, right, who is Spud of the night though, Jimmy?
Spud, 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 it is Spud of the night.
Spud of the night. We don't want to shit on rookies. Anthony Gill though for the Wiz, pretty rough night. Plays 11 minutes of the Wiz. Has 0 points, 1 rebound, 2 turnovers, and 4 fouls. Yeesh. Anthony, mate, Tony, bro, what are you doing? But then there's a couple of classics. Danilo Gallinari. Oh, my God. He was out there throwing up a Barry Crocker. Shocker. Wasn't he bad? How bad was Gallo? I'll tell you how bad. 18 minutes, 0 of 7 from the floor. Misses the 1-3 that he takes. Goes 1 of 2 at the free throw line. Ends up with 1 point, 2 rebounds, 1 turnover, and 3 fouls in 18 minutes. Gallo was a minus 8 in a game they won by 14. How is that possible, Gallo? What are you doing? In your old stomping grounds as well there in New York. And then obviously Rondo. Almost, look, I don't know if this is worse or whatever than your man Gallo. 21 minutes, 0 of 6 from the floor, 0 of 3 from 3, 1 of 2 from the free throw line for 1 point, 2 rebounds. He does have 6 assists, 1 block, 2 turnovers, but he was a minus 19 in a game they lost by 5. So there you go, Rondo and Danilo Gallinari. Oh, that was absolutely brutal. Just proper Spud stuff, right? What about old mate No Mates, though? Who was that today?
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Trae Young. Love it. Taking a bow. I didn't mention this just before because he's definitely old mate, no mates in New York. But the best part is New Yorkers, from their Reggie Millers on, they kind of love it. They're happy to boo him. They're happy to chant at him. They love their team. Trae Young dropping a massive 3 that was the absolute pinnacle dagger. Where it's like, you guys are not coming back from this. Fuck off. Boom. You're done. Takes a bow. Takes a bow at MSG after dropping the 3. He's getting a chorus of boos. It was awesome because the Knicks fans are out there clapping their team. It's like, you guys have done great. Trae Young goes, bang. Shuts them all up. They start booing him. It was beautiful. You love to see it. Spike Lee left his seat early. Reggie Miller called him out. Spike Lee apparently went back to it later, but there was some old mate, no mates moment there. It's like, Reggie, shut up. Like, I don't care. Oh, it's funny that you're calling out Spike Lee, but, oh, you call yourself a fan. You got to stay there until your dudes do. Yeah. If he comes back to his seat, then it's all fine. Like, I want to see a big Reggie Miller mea culpa. But, yeah, Trae Young in New York, definitely, definitely old mate, no mates. It's going to be hilarious when he's out at a club sometime in New York and some dude's like, hey, you think you're better than me? Come on, Trae Young. I'm walking here. Sure. What was Pantsing of the night, though?
Fatty, fat, fat, fat. Fatty, fatty, fat, fat.
Fatty, fatty, fat, fat. My best friend, Boban Marjanovic, met on the streets one time, shook his hand. It was terrifying. That was a big hand. Unfortunately, that big hand did not get up in time to stop Avicii Zubac from cramming one on my best friend, Boban Marjanovic. Oh, it was brutal. Boban's 7'6". All he's got to do is just stand there and just go, you're not dunking on me. Put my hands up. Boom. Got dunked on. It's the Sean Bradley corollary, right? It's like, the taller you are, the more people just want to dunk on you. And Zoob's got him. God. But the Knicks losing today. and bowing out 4-1 in this playoff series does throw up this amazing stat where it's like this is a bit of a pantsing for a franchise because the Knicks have won the exact same number of playoff games in the last 20 years as my beloved Seattle Supersonics. That's right. The Knicks have won as many playoff games in the past 20 years as a team that hasn't existed since 2008. Just let that sink in. That's a bit of a pantsing. That's like the fucking janitor pantsing you in the hallway at school, isn't it? Better than Lonzo Ball, though, for today.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. Look, a couple of favorites here because obviously Tyrese the weapon. Tyrese the weapon, Maxi. That's what he is. Tyrese maxed him out, Maxi. 13 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal. He was awesome today. Really, again, like he shot 6 of 14, so, you know, a little bit down, but 0 of 2 from 3. But his little bursts, he was just fucking amazing. And it really gives the Sixers like this weird extra little bit of punch off the bench. Shake Milton, all out of sorts at the moment. Korkmaz was looking a little bit shaky there for a minute. Didn't matter because Maxi was out there crushing it. So drops in 13 points. He was a plus 14. That's the second highest on the Sixers today in a closeout game for a rookie. You love to see that. But Rui Hachimura. I just want to give some big shine to Rui because he has been fucking awesome in basically the since he came back from having, what, the Rona and basically from injuries here and there. Rui was awesome this season. Got better and better and better, essentially, the more he sort of got accustomed to playing with Rusty and co. I think he averaged 17 and 6 for March, only 10 points throughout April, but still, look, in the actual playoffs, pretty bloody good, tell you that much, because the last couple of games, he had, what, 20 and 13 in game 4, 21 and 6 today, shot 8 of 12 in game 4, 8 of 13 today, 1 of 3 from downtown. And he's the exact sort of dude you need to build around Rusty and Beal. And Rui is fucking great. So 21-6-2 today, 3 fouls shot, 8 of 13. Rui, you crushed it, mate. You averaged in your first playoff appearance 14.8 points a game, 7 rebounds, shot 61% from the floor. Absolutely unreal. 70% from 3. He knocks in 8 of 12 of his 3s for this series. Tell you what, that's pretty easily better than Lonzo Ball. Love you, Rui. Hachimura. Now I'm sad I don't need to get watch him anymore, but oh well, what can you do? Right, let's do some Yenars right after this.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadee.
This is Darryl McDonald.
Hey guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Ellie.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do some Yenars. They're brought to you by thedailyliquor.com from East Ninth Brewing. If you're in Melbourne, lockdown. God damn it. But we at least have the NBA playoffs and footy season, so, you know, small mercies. But with lockdown being instigated again, don't waste your time going to the Bottle-O, waiting in line, maybe getting the Rona, being part of a, you know, contact tracing exposure site. Just go to thedailyliquor.com, order your booze. The beer selection's incredible. They've got wines, they've got cocktails, they've got amazing mix and match packs. Check it out. And if you bang in the code STRAYA, you get a free six pack and they bring it all to your door. If you're in the Melbourne metro area, you get same day delivery if you order before noon. So go get around thedailyliquor.com right now, bang in the code STRAYA, buy a sixer, buy a bottle of wine, buy some cocktails, live large in lockdown. Come on, don't get it, let it get you down. Nail some tins and get a sixer on your mate Jimmy with the code STRAYA. How good's that? Right, let's do some yeah nahs. Take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether more yeah or more nah. Number one, the Celtics. Whoa. Whoa. Right? Yeah, nah. Yeah. Whoa. Where did that come from? Does this help them in the long run, Jimmy? Yeah, nah. Look, I don't know, man. Your guess is as good as mine because Brad Stevens, your coaching and you're coaching a Butler, you do a bunch of recruiting, you go to the Celtics, you're helping out with that team, you're coaching, you're doing good jobs, now you're going to run the franchise? All right, man. Best of luck to you. Best of luck to you. Danny Ainge, does he go somewhere else, Jimmy? Yeah, nah. I don't know. It's an interesting one. He's 62. He's talked about, you know, wanting to spend time with his kids, etc. But if Portland go, Neil O'Shea's done a horrible job putting together this team. He's fucked with firing him. Danny, come home to Portland, mate. He loves Utah. Utah seem pretty settled there, though. They probably don't need him unless they want to bring him in over the top of their front office, which is not great. So, yeah, I don't know. I feel like you could see him doing it again. Will Brad Stevens coach again, Jimmy? Yeah, no, you better believe it. Of course he will. This is not the end of his coaching career. That'd be silly to say. Next up, can the Hawks beat the Sixers? Let's talk about some future stuff. Yeah, no. Oh, yeah. There's no Embiid. They definitely can. If Embiid's healthy, I think the Sixers trounce him. But with Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris, Dwight Howard, I don't know, man. This Hawks team has so many different ways of attacking you that they can definitely win this series, I think. I think it's just more of a matter in how many games. Because the Embiid injury, if he's like just even slightly slowed down, it's in a meniscus. It's going to hurt. I reckon they're in trouble. Was that season a success for the Knicks though, Jimmy? Yeah, nah. Yeah, obviously. Look, they were smoked in the playoffs by a lower seed and Randall got shown to maybe not have that next level gear that you need in the playoffs from your MVP candidate. AKA, that's a bit of a Tibbs special. We top out and then we don't have an extra gear to go to when it's needed. But also, A, this was Randall's first ever playoff series, and B, the Knicks turned themselves into a actual franchise again. Not quite the shit show clown car they've been for the last 10 years. So, well, 8 years, but still, they got to 41-31 in the first year under Tibbs. They get the four seed. And every Knicks fan is currently riding on a happy cloud of optimism. So that's a win. You've got everybody on board again after 8 years of fucking around and making asses of yourself. That said, Jimmy, were there shades of classic Tibbsness in this series? Yeah, nah. Yeah. Not adjusting till it's too late. Not having a point guard who knows his ass from his elbow. Thinking that Alfred Payton or Frankie Ntilikina are like the answer. Oof. Playing his dudes in the ground in the regular season, which leaves him gas for the playoffs and nothing in the tank. Oh, geez, where have we seen that one before? It's like a Tibbs doing a fucking spider bait, just coming out and playing their hits because there's no new songs. Play Buy Me a Pony again. but it was a bit of a Tibbs special, right? The thing is, they just don't have the horses, so... You know, you add a little bit more to it off this season, this offseason, see how you go. They'll be right. Should the Wiz run it back, Jimmy? Yeah, nah. Yeah, I've laid this out over the last couple of weeks, right? Rusty and Beal plus shooters and the likes of Daniel Gafford. I mean, you saw it work. Like, they were great guns. As soon as Rusty got healthy, he and Beal clicked. Rusty's game was looking really good. The likes of Rui Hachimura, maybe Denny Avdijer if he comes back healthy. Couple of those wing guns who can do a little bit of everything like Rui and Denny, and you're laughing. I kind of like it. Gafford, he was like an unpolished gem. Boom, pops off. He and Rolo, that's a nice little combo. I like it. Reckon there's a bit there. And look, you don't want to talk yourselves into them being like a pretty good team next season. Like they're not going to be maybe a conference finalist or anything, but maybe with a full year, who knows what could happen. Should they bring Scott Brooks back? Yeah, nah. I mean, Rusty is happy there, so fucking why not? Keep him happy. See how you go with Beal. Are the Grizz going to be okay? Yeah, nah, yeah. I mean, as I mentioned, they're just young. And that's what you got to cop. I'm going to talk about that again in a second, but that's a great experience for Ja. Great experience for Triple J. For him to come back after missing most of the season, this was the year you expected Jaren Jackson Jr. to, like, how do you have come back earlier? Maybe that, you know, having had that injury, maybe if he comes back earlier and gets himself into a bit more of a groove, this Grizzly season finishes a little bit differently. But at the same time, if that injury never happens, you expect this year to be an awesome Jaren Jackson Jr. year. Maybe that's next year. Him next to Jonas Valanciunas, you love that. Dylan Brooks took a big step up just in terms of consistency and his dogness. You love that. Jar was awesome. Yeah, they're going to be fine. Brad McKeegan, he asked, Jimmy, yeah, nah, LeBron's shoulders that big that every Lakers fan has room to cry on them when they get bundled out of the first round. Yeah, nah. I really still struggle to believe that LeBron will lose in the first round for the first time ever. So I'm going to say nah. I think we get an AD that comes back and they just eke out this series against the Suns. I'm just saying. I pick Lakers in seven. I'm still sticking with it. But that's a good one. Those shoulders are pretty big. I don't know if they can hold everybody's tears, but I don't know if they'll have it. Yeah, nah, the WNBA has an even worse anti-Australian bias than the NBA. Hashtag prayers out to Shyla. Yeah, nah, yes, this sucked. So the news today, Shyla Hill, the mini hammer. Love Shyla Hill. She's awesome. Friend of the program, Shane the Hammer Hill's daughter, traded by the Chicago WNBA team, the Sky, down to Dallas after six games, fuck all minutes, and then Dallas waive her. Absolutely brutal scenes. It's like, what are you fucking... Dude, she's 19. This is ridiculous. Gotta let her fucking, like, have a crack. God damn, she barely got over there after the draft. She had, like, injuries that messed up practices and training camp, and boom. That's just really bad form from the Chicago team. We're like, oh, yeah, well, look. Our coach is our GM. He's out there trying to save his fucking job like an idiot and going to ruin the franchise. So great job there, WNBA. The anti-Australian bias. One from Jez Oz. Hey, buddy, I got another yeah nah for you. Here goes. Dame Lillard must have slept with the basketball gods as misses because he continues to walk the walk and either he gets hurt or the rest of the squad gets hurt or, like today, they hurt their heartstrings. If he stays in Portland, he'll be forever surrounded by mediocrity and struggle to get past the second round. If a ring is what he desires, he'll have to leave Portland. Yeah, nah. Oh, I'll tell you what. I reckon this is going to be a fascinating two. You know, tomorrow's game is going to be fascinating. I think Portland can win game six, and I think Portland can win game seven. It's like the shape of a half-decent team is here. Their defense just lets them down so many times. They're like, I just don't think this team is going to win anything. Maybe someone like Danny Ainge does come into Portland, looks at their roster and goes, right, we're going to fix it this way, this way, this way, and this way. Sorry, Terry, you're out the door. Here's my new coach. Let's do this thing. And maybe Dame then puts it all together with a couple of different sort of dudes around it. Jez Oz also mentioned, I think he'd be a good fit on the Knicks or as part of a trade for Pandemic P to the Clippers. I love CJ McCollum. I think you do need a bigger shooting guard or another wing that can sort of take some of the defensive pressure off and can also maybe just fill it up. Because as good as the CJ scoring is, it is just that little bit redundant with Dame. And when neither of them can stop fucking Austin Rivers or Monty Morris from torching them from game to game, you got a problem there in Portland. So I'm going to have to go with a yeah, nah, unless there's some drastic changes. Yeah, he's not going to win a title there in Portland. Anyway, unpopular opinion of the day. Jesus, we're running late again. Say what? Look at me. Both the Knicks and Grizz needed that. I don't know if that's unpopular, but they did. They need to settle their fans down. Because this also, though, you get bundled out in five games in the first round. It keeps your optimism up, though, and your expectations low, which is the exact point you want to be at. You win a few more games in the first round. Maybe you lose in seven. A, you get your hearts broken more, but also your expectations go up for next year. I'm like, oh, wow, we almost made the second round. We could be in the conference finals next year. That's not how it works. Take your lumps, grow, get better, make your push. Like RJ Barrett, Ja Morant, they're all going to be way better next year, and they'll be better for this experience getting bundled out in the first round. The Celtics, that's just a tough one for Tatum and co because, like, Tatum's only 23, but Jesus, he's already been to a couple of conference finals. But either way, good job for the Knicks and Grizz. Great years. They'll be fine. The Wiz, they've got a little bit of optimism there as well because, again, it always looked like it was going to be a bit of a shit show of a year. They turned it around, so a little bit of optimism. You love that. You just got to hope that something really clicks around Brad Beal and Rusty Westbrook there, right? Right, well, that was the unpopular opinion. Let's do Outback Toe Curls. It's Thursday. at Outback. You know what that means? Bloomin' onions. That's right, you fat bastard Yanks. We're going to deep fry some onions and flog them off to you 2-for-1. Because apparently a bloomin' onion is where you deep fry an onion and make it look like some sort of fucking flour or something. I don't know. All we do in Australia is throw a fucking onion on the barbie. Cook it till it's black as the inside of a dog's gut. And then bang her on a saucy. But here you go. It's deep fried. 2-for-1. Bloomin' onions only at Outback. And today's flame grilled take is... The Celtics turmoil is just the latest iteration of their shitty karma over fucking over Isaiah Thomas and trading Aaron Banger's Baines when they said they wouldn't. Literally since those moments, nothing has gone right. They've lost 3 marquee free agents, had injuries galore, and now their apparent genius coach and architect Trader Danny are out the door. And that's what you get when you mess with the Bangers. Only at Outback. Maybe that's the only way they can solve it and figure out what's going on. They bring back Bangers. They bring back Isaiah Thomas. I mentioned this before the playoffs. They didn't do it. Here we are. A couple of other ones. How about the Hawks will beat the Sixers in 5 games? Is that a good one? Dame Lillard will force a trade to the Knicks. Only at Outback. I don't know what you're trading back, though. I do like the Dame Lillard for Pandemic P. Because Dame and Kawhi, now there is a match made in heaven. That would be unreal. I feel like fucking Kyle Lowry all souped up. That'd be awesome. Right, quick break. Back with Australian Player Watch, a fly through of the Australian Player Watch and everything else. Right after, let's see this one.
This is Shane Heal, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's talk about Noble. What do Chris Paul, NASA Commander Scott Kelly, Reddit co-founder Alexis Ohanian have in common? Well, they've all got incredible experiences. And they've created audio courses to teach you what they've learned. They're on Knowable, which is a new app where the world's top experts teach new skills in bite-sized audio courses. It's like Spotify for learning stuff. I love Knowable. The bloke from NASA teaches you lessons about space, which is rad. I'm reading The Expanse still. And there's like a million books in The Expanse. Jesus, I'm a completist, so stuck reading it. But I'll tell you what, that's some pretty nerdy shit about space, and so is the great Scott Kelly stuff. Chris Paul talks about the performance benefits of a plant-based lifestyle, and the Reddit co-founder Alexis Ohanian teaches you how to launch a startup. Over 100 other experts waiting to teach you something new on Knowable, so go check it out. Go learn some new stuff today. Download Knowable from your app store. Bang in the code STRAYA and get 20% off. It's sick. I love Knowable. You get way smarter. It's awesome. Go check it out. Right. Let's do it. Australian Player Watch. Big Simo, Ben Simmons, as mentioned, his third career triple-double in the playoffs. You'll love to see it. Also happened to win your old mate Jimmy a bunch of money. Thanks for that, Simo. 19 points, 10 rebounds, 11 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. But the thing I loved most about this game, no shrinking violet Simo. After the last game where he was kind of bottling it, he was like, fuck yous. Ran the floor hard, was right up in the guts of everything. He shot 7-11 from the floor, 5-8 from the free throw line. Pretty good. 1 steal, 2 blocks. Just played a really great all-round game. Was completely engaged. I loved just his communication on D. Him sort of trying to like orchestrate everything. And him and Matty T on the same court at the same time at the start of that game was terrifying. And I loved it. Doc let loose the dogs of war. And it was unreal. Speaking of Aussie Matty T, he had 7 points. He was pretty good today. 3-5 from the floor, 1-3 from downtown. Absolute menace and a steal. He had 4 fouls, but that's just the classic anti-Australian bias, isn't it? And Jingles, as mentioned, 0-5 from the floor, 0-4 from downtown. But he, with his 0 points today, he still had 4 rebounds, 4 assists and a steal. And you got to wonder, Jingles, for the Jazz to have that much success in the second round, whoever they play out of the Clippers, well, we all know that he owns Paul George. But if they play Dallas or the Clippers, they need Jingles cranking. So let's get some shots up, Jingles, and get it flying. And Josh Greeny Green didn't get out there today for the Mavericks. Pretty close. Kind of expected it. What are you going to do? Right. What about the Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence? The extra bonus one for a Thursday. It's the first Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba.
Outstanding Achievement.
All right, clap it up. Clap it up. Because Andrew Gaze Grey Mum Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence. I'll tell you what. Luka Doncic, I didn't mention this one earlier, but 40-plus points and 14-plus assists in a playoff game. It's happened one other time. LeBron had 43 and 14 back in 2018 against Toronto. And Luka just had a 42, 8 and 14 today. So, look, I'm just saying that's pretty fucking excellent when you're one of two dudes to have a line in playoff history. That's pretty bloody excellent. He was incredible, but 31 of 37 field goal attempts he either assisted or scored. That is absolutely off the chain. Luka. Everything you want in an NBA player can shoot it. Rebounds, assists. He got like a second sight for some of his passes. He would have had more assists had any of those fucking useless Mavs role players today hit any number of the open shots that he created. The thing about Luka is driving to the hole, you could see him just really get gassed down the stretch. He'd sort of stop and pop. He tried a one-legged Dirk fadeaway at one point. Like, oh, and he just couldn't get into it. Like, the shots that he was taking were pretty good. And they're just rimming out. And it's like, yeah, he's gassed. But at the same time, he stopped going to the hoop. You get that. It's the end of the game. You want to see him just get there in the end. But, oh, well. Right, what about a Patty Mills game day baller game day Twitter check-in? Oh, we're going to go to the Patty Mills Instagram, aren't we? Because I'll tell you how goddamn influential this is and awesome. Because all he's doing at the moment is posting great, great, great Olympic stuff. And we mentioned the one yesterday. This one was from a couple of days ago. Fuel to the fire. The memories of being part of the Australian national team are some of the best experiences I've ever had. From the camps and tours to the trainings and games, the passion just hits a little different when you're on the court representing your country. He's got a picture there with him and Dally and none other than Jingling Joe Ingles in the Boomers uniforms. Patty then continues, the unforgettable off-court moments together around the world create a bond like no other. From the ski lifts in the Alps of northern Italy to strolling on the beach on the southern eastern coast of Spain, or the goosebumps feeling walking the grounds of Gallipoli to the breathtaking moments of our own Uluru. These are the fellas you want to be stuck in the trenches with, but the disappointment of not achieving a medal for our country is what fuels this fire. It's straight unfinished business, and the Tokyo Olympics has a whole new level of focus. Oh, Jesus, I'm going to go run through a brick wall for Patty. That is awesome. Talk about the Patty Mills Game Day Ball Game Day Twitter Check-In Appreciation Society. Woo! Inspiring stuff. Right, let's do some game previews for tomorrow, though.
Game previews.
Thanks, Inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem, Jimmy. How's it all going?
Oh, yeah, the foot's not bad at the moment. All those anti-inflammatories doing okay. Today, we went 3 of 4 in the picks. Pretty good. 3 of 4. We're 23 of 38 for the playoffs, though. That's pretty good, isn't it? Love to see it. We had the Knicks that missed today, so what can you do? You get that on the big jobs. Thought the Knicks would fire up in MSG. They did not, in fact, fire up. Tomorrow's games, we have Portland hosting Denver. I'm taking Portland -5.5. I think Portland have enough at home to once again stomp Denver. I think it'll be close, but Portland will just edge away and get the win. So give me Portland -5.5. Then the Lakers host Phoenix in LA. I'm going to take the Lakers -2.5. I've gone the two favorites and the two home teams tomorrow. Jeez, Jimmy, go out on a limb. They are the two teams that are down in the series, and I expect them to both force game sevens because the Lakers, look, for all the shit talking about LeBron, I don't think he loses in a first round right now. Not in a game six, not without forcing a game seven. I think we've got a vintage LeBron performance. The role players step up, especially at home. Lakers get the win over Phoenix, so give me the Lakers -2.5 and Portland -5.5. And there you go. Go check out DraftKings Australia. Remember to go to dkng.co/Australia. Get around in daily fantasy. Get your lineup set before those games start. That's a 10 a.m. start tomorrow for Portland. That's Eastern Australian time for that Portland game and then Lakers after. So love it. All right. That's it for today. We're back tomorrow to wrap up all that for you. Get you set for the weekend. Should be good. Make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey IGs, or all of the socials. Get NBAAustralia.com/shop. Buy some merch. Check out World Wrestling Australia over on YouTube with our man Adam. Absolutely smashing at the moment. Plenty of going on in the world of wrestling. So World Wrestling Australia with Adam. over there from FWCI. Go subscribe and check it out on YouTube. Check us a rating and review on iTunes, whatever podcast app you use. Use your pod app to rate and review us, would you? Come on, help us out. It's really easy. Just do it. Just do it now. There's not much at the end of this one. Would you? Diary of Stephen Adams. Pause it. Go off. Do it. Come back. DailyLiquor.com. Banging the code straight. Get a free six-pack. Knowable.fyi. Get 20% off the app from your app store. With the code Straya, big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. Their album Running Out of Time is out now. And also big thanks have to go to Joshua De La Renta's Fascinator, Gold Mines, and Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sextured Eye, Green Groom, Granite Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout the show. Smash them all on Bandcamp, Triple J Unearthed, and Face. And remember, NBA Australia supports stream bands. Right, we're going to close out today's show with a brand new Diary of Stephen Adams, and we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, look after yourselves, would you? And especially if you're in lockdown, drop us a line if you need to. Always here. Got an ear. We'll catch you tomorrow, dickheads. Later, Hosen. Oh, Kia ora, Bruce. It's me here, Stephen Adams, E. It's popping by for my weekly diary entry, Brew. So here goes, E. Oh, dear diary, Brew. It's me, Brew. Oh, Stephen Adams, E. Just, you knew that already, though, because you're my diary, Brew. And you know all my deep, dark secrets, man. Like how as soon as we finished our season there, Brew, in New Orleans, Brew, I took a dump in each one of Lonzo Ball's shoes, Brew. And, I never heard anything about it, E. Everyone's like, oh, shit. There's a couple of big bumps in Lonzo's shoes, eh? And I just sat there sort of giggling softly to myself, Brew. And Lonzo didn't say anything. Put his feet right in there. And boom, a couple of poos on your twos, Brew. Classic. Absolute classic from me, Stephen Adams, eh? But don't tell anyone, Brew, because it's a secret. Anyway, Brew, not been up to much since the season finished, eh? Just hanging out in New Orleans with my best friend Zion, Brew. He doesn't have poo in his twos, Brew. But I'm waiting for a flight to take me home to NZ for a bit to see my mum and dad, Brew. And my 34 brothers and sisters, eh? See how that goes back home in Wellington. But, yeah, until then, Brew, just hanging out with Zion, eh? Like the other day, Brew, we went out drunking, and a fella came up to us, Brew, and he's like, oh, Brew, you're that Zion bloke from the Pelicans, aren't you, Brew? Oh, Brew, and you're Stephen Adams, eh? Also from the Pelicans. And I'm like, oh, hey, Zion, let's play a trick on him, eh? And Zion and I were a bit pissy, so we're like, nah, Brew, you've got it wrong, eh? And I pointed to Zion, Brew, I'm like, his name is Jeremy, Brew, and my name is Brenton. So move along, fella. And he's like, oh, what are you talking about, Brew? You're very clearly Zion Williamson and you're very clearly Stephen Adams, Brew. And I'm like, nah, man. This is not going the way you think it is, Brew. This is definitely not Zion Williamson. This is my friend Jeremy. And I, as I said, Brew, is Brenton. That's me, Brew. My name is Brenton. And this fella's like, nah, man, you're definitely them, eh? And I'm like, nah, man, you need to move along, eh? And my best friend Zion, he's getting all antsy, Brew. He's like, Brew, we're not. We're just having a few tins, Brew. Leave us alone, eh? And this fella starts getting all angry, Brew. He's like, oh, Brew, I pay your wages because I have, like, tickets, Brew. You will respect me, Brew. So I respected him right into the wall, Brew. So that was pretty funny. I paid for the ambulance, Brew. Paid for it in cash so no one can trace it back to me, eh? And then we went back to knocking back some frost, Brew. So it was a pretty fun night, eh? But, yeah, it's a bit weird being famous sometimes, eh, Brew? So... anyway, Diary, I better go check on my off-season hungies, Brew, that I've got cooking in Zion's mum's backyard, eh? Make sure that little bugger Zion hasn't dug up any of them and eaten them when we're all pissed and stuff the other day, so... alright, Brew, so till next week, eh? Cheer, cheer, love, Stephen Adams, Brew.